Tucson, good morning to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Good morning to you, and excited for this hour. Excited to have in studio for the majority of the hour, Paul Cunningham, Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, and Ethan Orr will wrap up our show in the fourth segment, candidate for the Pima Community College Governing Board. Paul and I were talking one day about a big ideas hour envisioning Tucson in 2030. I think we need to have both faith in and fun with government, faith that government works, and fun imagining the possible, envisioning what the possible is. And I think a lot of times we don't do both. We certainly don't do both equally. We got to have one foot in the pothole and one foot on the moon, moonshot ideas, thinking about the big picture. So for the next three segments, that's what Paul Cunningham and I are doing, Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, talking about Tucson 2030. Paul Cunningham, it's good to see you in studio. How are you?
Great, Zach. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And it's fall break, so we get to do this in studio, which is a lot of fun as well.
It is. And you know, when we talk, you know, I really appreciate you talking about the big idea piece. Remember that it's really big idea. A lot of people have great ideas. I hear them all the time. And in fact, some of the things that we'll talk about today are ideas that people have talked about. But understand, the next question that follows up any great idea is, all right, how do you pay for it? And then there's a follow-up question after that. How do you pay for it without raising taxes? And then there's another follow-up question after that. How are you going to maintain it after you build it?
Right.
And when you really get into those nuances, some great ideas aren't so great. I mean, great ideas are considered great ideas because they're unique. So there's not that many great ideas that you can actually do within your specific budget and all those other things. But today we've got some things that, one, are probably workable, and two, could pay for themselves. So there's mechanisms in place to pay for them. There's mechanisms in place to sustain them. And, you know, when we talk about long-term governance and how we do things in Pima County and Tucson, it really comes down to working within the framework of what the state has prescribed to put us in the best advantage. That includes talking about incorporation. That includes about saying, hey, we're going to have a town of Catalina Foothills. We're going to have a town of Vail. We need the money. There is a spot in Tucson called Tankerbury Valley that probably doesn't need to be incorporated, but they're in a unique situation, and we need to make them some type of special district, not necessarily a town or a city, so they can have their county autonomy and their horse properties and whatever, but make them some type of special water district so that we can wheel them water at a fair price and they're incentivized to turn off some of the wells they have out there. So there's all these different things that go on when we're talking about Tucson and the long-term big picture. And so I thought we'd share some ideas today.
For sure. Yeah, and I think we're both hoping that this goes well to the point where we have a part two. But there's three buckets, Paul, that of all the things we brainstormed coming into this, that we thought, hey, this would be interesting to talk about, interesting for the greater Tucson region, certainly for the city of Tucson, Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham. The first to kick us off is transportation and infrastructure. Paul, give us a few of those things that check all those boxes that you mentioned that by 2030 you think that we should be doing, can be doing, and can get done. Cast some vision on that side.
So the first thing that we talk about, it comes up every election cycle. It's come up for the last 5 years. People have asked me, when are we going to get a crosstown freeway? And the answer is, okay, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to maintain it once you pay for it? Is the state going to put money in? Does a funding source exist already? And where are you going to put it? Because I got news for you. There's not a lot of neighborhoods that exist the way Tucson exists and the way Tucson is that are going to say, oh yeah, sign us up to be next to the freeway.
A lot of people say we kind of had a chance back in the 80s or earlier, and we kept putting it off, and now we're kind of landlocked.
The answer a lot of time is that ship has left the station. You can't do it. It's impossible. And you're right. To do a freeway the way you think of Probably not. I mean, maybe in 20, 30 years, we'll have one along Skyline or Ina or something like that. But that's, again, way out.
Yep.
At this point, our best opportunity to at least have a freeway that, one, gets people from the eastern part of Tucson and the northern part of Tucson to the airport faster.
Right. The route you took this morning.
Uh-huh. And two, one that can get you from the east side to downtown in a few minutes. So that's the first piece. You know, the east side and downtown have, it's the Ward 2 Council, but it's been an interesting adventure because I'm really proud of the work we've done downtown. But I have so many constituents who say, well, you know, I don't go downtown that
right.
much. It's a 20, 30 minute drive for me. I
hear it all the time.
So we have some opportunity. We have a street called Golf Links in Tucson. And believe it or not, historically, it is a state freeway. So it actually is eligible for certain state funds. Now, we have to reclassify and get some help from our legislative friends. But I think we could, especially if we were doing the right project. It's also along the Air Force base. And from a national security standpoint, we can actually ask DHS and the military to pitch in here and say, hey, look, we'd want to put some things called some flyovers. It's like a grade separated interchange, but actually there's a light for the left and right turn lanes, but the through traffic flies over.
Got it.
And so it's a ramp that goes over for the through traffic. And the square mileage, the square footage you need, the geometric shape of the intersection you need to make that happen is very, very possible at Craycroft and Swan without breaking a sweat. You could do that in about 1 second. Not only that, once you hit that, you can seamlessly go through golf, go onto the Barraza, the Barraza Freeway. And now the Barraza Freeway would take you all the way to the mouth of downtown from Wilmot with no stoplights.
And with the downtown links, that now connects.
And then downtown links is getting built anyway.
Right.
And so now you can go from Wilmot and Golf Links to the freeway in 3-4 minutes.
Right.
5 minutes. You can go at 60 miles an hour without getting stopped, without hitting a stoplight. We can actually build that right now. We'd probably want to put part of the money, we want to put that into the RTA plan. And the person who talked about this the most, and she was on the council for 24 years, is Shirley Scott. So I'd actually lobby to say, I've been calling, when I speak privately to friends, this is a conversation that I have with friends at on the phone, lately a lot more on the phone. But what I used to have when I was out to dinner with friends, or I'd see them at a game and they'd want to talk about the city and things, and you never really get to share it just with everybody. So I figured this was an opportunity to do that. And so I've been calling it the Shirley Scott Freeway. And it helps Ward 2 and Ward 4, and it connects us easterly. And it also stops all the sitting traffic outside of the gates of the Air Force base. Mm-hmm. So no one will ever have the opportunity to stop there and do something nefarious. So for me, I think it's a win all the way around. I think the funding exists, and I think the maintenance the maintenance mechanisms exist. Mm-hmm. So for me, that would be something that I'd want to push for Tucson that would definitely help us. At the end of it, we'd also go to the county and build one last grade-separated interchange, and we do that at Ajo and where it turns into Alvernon, and then we do another one at Irvington, and that would get you to the freeway. So now you have, I mean, to the freeway. That would get you to the airport. Sorry, excuse me. So now you have an east-west to downtown, but you also have a route to our airport, which is really important for our economic development, which we'll talk about in the third segment. We can't have a great airport unless people can get there. And if I can, if I live in Oro Valley right now, I can get to Mesa Airport just as fast as I can get to Tucson Airport.
Yep. We've got, let's see, I think 3 or 4 minutes kind of max on this, Paul. The freeway is what I really want to talk about, but there's also some multimodal transportation, some bus rapid transit. That actually fits in with how do we get to the airport? What are the nodes that connect to our airport? 3 or 4 minutes, Paul, cast some vision on BRT, bi-articulated down Broadway and Grant, and then Airport Casino Raytheon. Bring that all
so
in.
So that's the second piece of this. We want people to serve the airport. Well, we've also got a casino out there. We also have a way of Raytheon out there. And my vision for the bi-articulated bus, it's a bi-articulated bus. It's just a big bus with an accordion in the middle. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Everybody's
and it's got its own lane is the big part.
But it's got its own lane. And you know, we can probably set it so at times it's lights if we do it. At times the stoplights with stops, so we could do it. We could save a little time. We also, because we already have our bus set up with FTA, we could probably widen the stops a little bit. Sometimes we have stops that are 600 feet apart. We're allowed to have them as little as a half mile. I think that's a little short, but whatever. There's just opportunities to do that. So for me, what I'd like to see happen is have a bi-articulated bus that goes from Ronstadt down the Old Nogales Highway, and it's got stops at the Laos Center. It's got stops at the VA. It's got stops at Raytheon. It's got stops at the casino, and it's got stops at the airport. And I think that would be a great little kind of feed into the Sunlink. So now you can get to the airport and then get downtown and take the Sunlink to wherever your hotel is or whatever. And then the other one is, because I'm the East Side councilman, I want it to come out east, and we could stop at Elkhorn, where High Corbett is. We could have a stop in the Sunshine Mile, a couple stops in the Sunshine Mile.
Which I think Rio Nuevo is working on, right?
Yeah, we could have a stop at the Williams Center. We could have a stop at Park Place. We could have a stop all the way out east if we ever get a new city hall out there or something. So those are all the pieces that I kind of see visioning. And I think, again, we have the opportunity to do that. I'll say one last thing about the bus and about Sunlink and all that. And that is that we can probably set it up where the program, it's easier for us to make the program free if our partners play ball with us. If we go to TUSD, Pima Community College, the U of A, and Pima County, and who am I missing? Raytheon. And I say, look, all your people forever and ever ride for free, no matter what. And then, that's what we just do. And then we make a monthly pass like $25 for everybody. That would be way cheaper than actually collecting money. It costs us money to collect money with buses. So for me, it's actually a better deal for us to have a universal monthly pass for everybody. That's like $20 a month, like basically lower than the reduced fare that we're paying right now. And then not only that, for like a daily rider, make it $1 and you get 24 hours of rides, like something really, really just inexpensive. But any of those employees of those five mentioned entities, they'd pay some money up front and we'd make it for free. We can already do that with Sunlink and make money. We'd do better. We'd actually do better on Sunlink. But we got to make up about $3 or $4 million on from farebox recovery on the bus. And I think we make it up with those really nominal costs.
Paul Cunningham, Ward 2 Councilman, Vice Mayor of Tucson. Paul, I make this joke on the air, but it's not really a joke, that if I come in here and I go ever any day, what do I talk about today? I mentioned two things, Paul: roads and infrastructure, Grant and Alvernon. I just got to say those two things, those are topics our listeners really want to talk about in terms of what they mean for Tucson, what they reflect in Tucson. So this is a worthwhile topic to sit on. And again, if you just joined us, I think you mentioned it, Paul, these are some big idea conversations you get to have in a text message or a phone or an email there. But these are big ideas for Tucson. This is our chance to start to talk about Tucson 2030 a little bit. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears to sustainability and conservation in the second segment, and then Econ Dev in the third segment. We're just getting started with Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham. We'll be right back on 1030 The Voice.
We're Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Hey, Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, we are back here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice, joined for the majority of the hour by Tucson's Vice Mayor, Ward 2 Councilman Paul Cunningham, envisioning Tucson 2030. I think as a community, we have to have a foot in the pothole and a foot on the moon. I've said this before. The moonshot ideas and the nuts and bolts. On this show, we talk a lot of nuts and bolts. It's Paul's day-to-day. It's my day-to-day in many levels. This is a few minutes carved out to start saying, hey, what are some big things that we need to do, that we can do, that we can pay for, that makes sense? We started with infrastructure and transportation. Paul, we're going to do an econ dev segment in the third segment, but let's talk about some sustainability and conservation, some things that that might be in the pipeline over the next 10 years or could be.
Well, when people think about sustainability and conservation, it's unfortunate that some people have tried to literally divide us and use rhetoric to say, well, that's a bad thing because you're talking about climate change, which doesn't exist, and all this stuff. And that has nothing to do with this conversation. This conversation is about taking resources that already exist in Tucson and maximizing them for our use.
What's an example?
Okay, so here's a good example. We have environmental services, which is Department of Sanitation, which is trash collection. But over the years, we've rebranded it environmental services, and that's fine. But the bottom line is that if we actually composted our waste and we actually did recycle full, we'd have to charge a little more per month, but not much, but the city ultimately would be able to generate more methane in the landfill. We could harvest that methane now. The technology exists to harvest that methane to make materials for roads. Believe it or not, we collect enough glass and enough methane, we have enough methane supply, that we could probably experience some cost avoidance just in road materials for the next 22 years. And the taxpayers would get paid back. We'd have more money for roads because we'd be making and manufacturing our own road materials at our landfill sites. Think about how crazy that is. And say you know what? The methane-based petroleum solution that we're making out of recycled materials isn't cutting the grade. Fine. Then we'll use the methane to run our trucks or even run our buses. But whatever it is, it's our energy. We own it. It's the city's. And we should be using it for that type of things. Another piece would be like solar. We have one of the greatest sunshine cities in the world. Everybody knows this. So how do we make it where anybody can get it? How do we make it so any homeowner who can't, you know, a lot of people, they get leveraged on school, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, but they get over leveraged on school, they have to buy a house, they buy a car, and all of a sudden there's no money left. They can't They can't go out and get a solar loan. They can't do this or that. And it's awful. But what if we could cut those costs? And then you go to TEP and say, well, what about solar? They said, look, if every single rooftop had solar, we have to collect all that energy, distill it, and redistribute it. And that's extremely technically way more complicated than anybody understands. Well, what if we went and said, hey, look, we'll set up a program where we'll allow an HOA to do a tax increment district on themselves for like $3 a month or $4 a month, and we'll put rooftops on every single house. And all of them will have cost avoidance in their solar, in their electric bill, but it'll pay for completely for itself, but they won't have to go into HOC personally or anything else. And TEP is happy because they're drawing all that power from the roof and distributing credits to each house through the HOA instead of trying to regulate so many different master meters. So there's a way to do this type of stuff. And so solar neighborhoods being allowed to purchase solar in bulk through the rooftops is a big thing. Now, on certain programs, TEP may have to build a switch somewhere in nearby that neighborhood. But this is a crazy thing. If you drive around Tucson, you don't realize how many of them are already there. They have switches all in all types of places in the area. So if they can add on to an existing switch, it makes it easy for TEP as well. So I think TEP should be involved in that conversation. The last piece of sustainability we have is the lifeblood of Arizona, is the lifeblood of Tucson. It's everything that we've done.
I live along the Santa Cruz. I'm excited for the next 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's water, and we've done a really good job kind of protecting our water system. Here's the deal. Right now, if we do everything right, if we turn off a lot of wells, we can have a running Relito in the next 10 to 15 years. The Santa Cruz is already running, but there's a quarry that you drive by on the north end part. With some work, and I think I think the county has a deed in 7 years to get it, we can probably create some type of reservoir and recharge water feature there, where you could have fishing and things like that. Now, you'd want to do it ecologically responsible. You don't want to, you know, just put in a lake that gets contaminated like they did in certain places in Phoenix. But there is an opportunity to have a recreational water feature there. And I think that's a conversation worth having. We'd need federal partners. This is one of the ones that right now we can't pay for it. Right now, like I say that out loud, but we'd actually have to go to the voters and get a way to pay for it. So that there's also, we'd want Marana, Oro Valley, and maybe the newly founded town someday of Catalina Foothills, along with Tucson and Pima County, to all pitch in to do this. But ultimately, think about what Tucson is like. If you have a running river from way out east, Tanque Verde Valley, all the way to the Relito, you have the Relito running all the way south from Irvington into this lake. Think about how cool that is. Think about how that makes Tucson unique. Think about what kind of desert city we have. We don't have Phoenix Dust Bowl. We have Tucson. We'd be special.
Yeah. And the Santa Cruz, which I live on, used to be a flowing river up until even the 80s. So we have that precedent. We'll be back for our third segment. We're going to talk economic development in Tucson. It's our third segment topic when we return with Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham. Don't go away.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
And Tucson, we are back. We're back with Paul Cunningham, the Ward 2 councilman in the city of Tucson, also the vice mayor of the city here. We're talking about Tucson 2030. We were just jamming, Paul, during the break about how we both believe that we're at this tipping point moment in Tucson, where the decisions we make in the next 5 or 10 years really could shape the next 50, that there is a renaissance of our community that we are on the cusp of. We both believe that. Let's finish up this almost hour we've spent together talking about transportation, infrastructure, sustainability, and conservation, big ideas for Tucson 2030. Let's wrap up with Econ Dev, economic development. What are some things that we can be doing, should be doing? What are some big ideas that can help put the dollars in the bank to make some of these things work?
Well, when you talk about anything, you talk about these visioning sessions, and you really, like I said at the beginning of the show, how do you pay for it? You have to build your economy. And so our economic girth, if you will, is based really on three kind of pillars of it that hold up the rest of it. They're the foundation, and that foundation is the University of Arizona, Raytheon, and the base. Those are all surplus job providers. They all employ over 7,000. I think they employ 30,000 people between the three of them. This is a big piece of like how our kind. Now we've got some great small businesses. We've got tremendous startups,
biotech,
that are coming in. We've got some bio. We got stuff at the tech park, but they're not that blue chip, that 7,000 to 8,000 employers. But some of them are for 300, 200, 500. And by the way, those are fine. Caterpillar's got almost 1,000, I think, at this point. So those are great. Those are also good surplus job providers. We probably need a few more. We probably need to say, hey, look, how do we get that company here that's going to bring in 600 professional level jobs, 700 professional level jobs? Well, I got news for you. Deals like that don't grow on trees. And not only that, you have to offer incentives that have to lure them here. But moreover, a lot of times that decision isn't even made there. That decision's made by the board and the CEO because they like they grew up there, they have family there, they like the country club, who knows? But that's the reason why companies move. So you've got to go out and kind of get them. One of the things that I've said is that we could probably, we talked about methane, we could probably leverage some of that and try to entice a company like Southwest Gas or Clear Energy or one of them to say, hey, look, we'll let you run our methane program, but we want you to bring your headquarters here to Tucson if you're going to be first to run our methane program. Or we have, I don't know, between the county, the city, and probably TUSD, there's probably 7,000 business telecom accounts, cell phones, work cell phones. Well, we could go to a company and say, hey, look, we'll give you the contract for all these cell phones, but you need to be here. You need to base part of your operation here. And I think we've missed some of those opportunities. So we're trying to work on one now. And if we get them, great. If not, we'll go back to the drawing board and try another one. But that's kind of part of it. The other piece of economic development is you got to think about the airport. And that's what we talked about at the beginning of the hour in transportation. A lot of times when you meet with somebody to bring their company here, they say, well, you got to have the airport, the schools, and the downtown. That's what you need, three things to make your community attractive. And so the airport's the last piece. We kind of got froze out by American Airlines. They have not worked. They don't. It's not in their business model to work in the interest of Tucson. That's the nice way of putting it. For me, I think they're a total impediment. So that's kind of one of the pieces that that's rough for us. The last piece is we need to see do something that makes it unique. What can we do for companies that makes us unique? Well, there's two things. One is workforce development, and that's where I probably want to go the city college route. I think we can work with Pima Community College and the county and even the school districts to set up a two-tiered school. One, a school where you can get a baccalaureate degree for under $200 a unit, even at less than $150 a unit. I mean, I think it's unbelievable that it costs $10,000 a year in state to go to the U of A right now. And there's people who maybe they didn't have the best high school career, or they dropped out early, or they just can't plumb afford it. Well, they should have an opportunity to get a baccalaureate too, and having to take out $11,000 in student loans to pay some online university and the money going out of town is ludicrous. We could have a city college in Tucson where people could earn their bachelor's degree for $150 a unit. They'd come. And that $150 a unit is roughly the amount you need for the courses that you're offering to break even. The second piece is that city college, or that same city college, would also be kind of like the training tier for all of the government jobs. You know, if you want to get your lifeguard certification, if you want to be a vendor for the city or the county, if you want to get your, the state already licensed electricians and all that, but if you want to be a vendor, you could come through this community college. Maybe we could train our police and fire through the community college. And I think that would actually lessen the burden that we have. I mean, the academy would still exist with the same people. Not a lot would change as far as the day-to-day, but other people could have the opportunity if they wanted to train in that academy. And I think that's a good thing to do. So those are some of the pieces that we do with workforce development. We kind of consolidate it, make it simple, and make it inexpensive for people. The last thing we do, and this is the big one, right now within our budget, within the resources that exist, I think we can allow employers to purchase insurance for the dependents of their employees, for their kids, for everyone in Tucson. So if you don't qualify for kids care or access, instead of getting jammed by one of the bigger insurance firms that kills you at $10,000 in ERE as an employer, you can go to your employee and go, well, for $44 per paycheck per kid and I match it, we can insure your kid. Think about, one, how much more take-home pay goes into city workers' pocket, anybody who works in the city's pocket, and two, how much money is saved on ERE by the employee, by the employer. That's an opportunity that we have that exists because within the framework of what federal law says, we are allowed to offer a public option for kids. And there's already some cities around the country that do it. I'd like Tucson to be one of them.
Paul Cunningham, Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Ward 2 City Councilman. I'd love to do this again. That takes us to time. We knew we had three segments, three buckets. Can we do this again?
Anytime. Anytime that I'm not working.
right. Yeah. We picked this day strategically. I'd love to also talk with you about our startups, our biotech, space tech. We've got some clusters happening here that I just don't hear talked about enough. I use this platform as much as I can to cast that vision. We should do that. That takes us to a close for today. But thank you for coming in and for talking about some big 2030 ideas. If anybody listens, Paul, and says, hey, I'd like to talk to Paul about that or ask questions or whatever, what's the best way to connect with you offline?
The best way is you can email me at ward2@tucsonaz.gov, ward2@tucsonaz.gov. But here's the deal. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. The office number is 791-4680. But the best way for me is probably just message me on Facebook or message me on Twitter, and I'll private tweet my cell phone to you, and we'll talk. I return all my phone calls.
Yeah, no, it's true. Vice Mayor of City of Tucson, Paul Cunningham, thank you so much. This has been fun.
Zach, thanks for having me. Let's have a great day.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon. When we come back from our last break of the hour, Ethan Orr, candidate for the Pima Community College Governing Board. Speaking of which, we'll be back here with us in studio in just a minute. Don't go away.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call. at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloverewhereilive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, welcome on back into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Councilman from Ward 2, City of Tucson, and Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham just left. We were talking economic development, workforce development. It's almost as if we knew that Ethan Orr, candidate for the Pima Community College governing board, that's your business, that's your deal, that's your jam already, but should you sit on the PCC board? Let's just start out this way, Ethan Orr. You were on a couple weeks ago. People know who you are after a long
yes.
history of public service in our community, but anything you were listening to in the green room that you thought that was interesting or that you share an interest in regarding the role of PCC in developing our economy and workforce
development? Well, Zach, again, thank you for letting me back on the show. It's always a treat to be here, and it's always a treat to go into the details and really have a balanced and intelligent conversation. So I did enjoy listening to the conversation that you had with Paul right before, and I always appreciate a vision, a well-articulated vision. But one thing that really struck me in terms of executing that vision, as a community, we've got to start ensuring, and we're doing some of it, we've got to do the little things right. It's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. And so I was thinking of the analogy when we're talking about this broad vision of where do we go in 2034, which we need to do. If I were to get in a car with my family and say, we're all going to New York, that's an exciting trip, and it's a great trip. But if I haven't changed the oil in 3 years, if I haven't checked the tire pressure, if I may or may not have put gas in the car, that trip becomes problematic. And so it's the little things, executing little things right in accordance with a vision that really changes our community. So example, you mentioned the freeway, and I say this out of a sense of optimism, not negativity, but optimism. You talk about the airport, and Paul is absolutely right. The airport is a central hub. We've got to make that work. We've got to build out our infrastructure. So about 20 years ago, we built Keno Parkway, and transportation said, we're going to get people very quickly. We're going to move them from the airport to downtown and the university to Tech Park. It's a fabulous idea. But when we executed it, planning and zoning didn't coordinate with transportation. So we built a parkway, and then you zone 500 houses on either side, and now you got a bunch of stoplights. And so when I talk about a vision, you have to execute that vision, and you have to execute it with detail and precision in order to make it work.
It related to, and I'm happy to jam on whatever you want to jam on, Ethan, but I know you're 3 weeks out from an election, and so, and so I imagine you probably want to pull this back to that, and so I want to do that for you if that's where you want to go. But what are the small foxes that ruin the hen house in your neck of the woods, Ethan, or in terms of Pima Community College? What are some of the micro details? What are some of the things that you'd love to shore up should you sit on that seat?
Well, I think the thing, and this is what made me so effective when I was in the state legislature, is going through the budget line by line. You have to know the budget because your budget is truly a reflection of your real values. And you know, one book that I really try and not only live by, but govern by, is The Power of Habit. So we have organizational habits, we have personal habits, and they were either created unconsciously through unconscious bias, or we just do stuff, or we very deliberately did that. So if you look at communities in our area, Gilbert Davidson, when he was, and we went through this, when he was city manager of Marana, and Marana is a town that is well-run, it is running for the most part excellence, all of those habits were purposely formed at the staff level. And so that's the kind of thinking we need to be doing. When I talk about Pima College, and this is the exciting thing, we can do it. Pima College really is the key to workforce development. We talk about bringing companies in, expanding local businesses. You still have 80 to 90% of your jobs are in the local economy. So I look at workforce development and Pima College. There are 25,000 jobs in the trades, healthcare, construction, automotive, that don't have the proper skill set match. In fact, and I know we talked about this last time, Achieve 60 said, if I can align those, my business training needs with my educational performance, I can generate an additional $6.7 billion in the Arizona economy. Now, the key to that, we talk about what brings companies in and why companies are important. Companies like Caterpillar and Raytheon are important for the jobs they produce, but also because of two other things, the multiplier effect. So if I have a job at the university or at Raytheon, I go out and I go to Starbucks, hopefully I go to a local coffee shop downtown, and I buy local. And that creates, for every tech job that comes in, you generate 6.2 other jobs supporting it. The other thing, and if you look particularly at Raytheon, is the supply chain. So Advanced Ceramic and some of these companies that feed into the supply chain, and now you're creating more multipliers. The way that you create those linkages, again, is a well-trained and successful workforce.
Correct. 100%. 100%. That's where I was hoping you were. I was forecasting where I thought that should go, and you went there. You know, we talk about roads and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We talk about education. We talk about all those factors. Super important. I have been surprised, Ethan, when I talk to the men and women who either bring companies to Tucson, uh-huh, or ask companies to stay and grow in Tucson, I am amazed that the top thing those companies are looking for is talent.
Yes.
Talent drives all market decisions. You got to have good roads, good education, good services to keep them here, mm-hmm, to make it a thriving community. It's not that those things aren't important, but we often think that that these companies, that these organizations, that multiplier effect is driven by these things. They're on the list too, but far below what I've been told is talent.
Yes.
You got to have a good workforce, makes the dream work. And again, these are from the men and women who are working with these companies every day to say, come to Tucson, grow in Tucson, stay in Tucson. You hear the same thing, I'm sure.
Talent, absolutely, Zach. Talent is the most important thing.
And by talent, we mean workforce.
Workforce, yes. Yeah. And the other thing that's exciting about that is you create a virtuous cycle where talent begets businesses, begets opportunity,
right,
begets an actual career path for people. But I think we're at the cusp of real opportunity in this city. The reason for that, if you look at industries that are new or immature, and this is an economic development theory, like the automotive industry back at the turn of the century up until the 50s and 60s, they're highly centralized. Detroit. That's where all the cars are made. 80% of the cars were made in Detroit up until the 50s. And then as the industry matures, it spreads out. So now you're manufacturing cars in Tennessee, overseas. So you look at the tech companies, Silicon, and there's really two areas that Tucson should be trying to play in because they're so big in emerging and maturing industries. Biotech, Boston,
right,
is a perfect example, but then also high-tech Silicon Valley.
That's right.
At this point, both of those industries are highly concentrated, but what you're starting to see, and I think COVID, one of the benefits, maybe the only benefit, but one of the benefits of COVID is that process of maturing has been accelerated and exacerbated by COVID. So now you start having these workers. And if you look at the rent in San Francisco, it's actually dropped by almost 28% because all of a sudden people are like, I thought I had to be here. Companies said, I thought I had to be here because of the market thickness.
Yes.
And we're starting to realize, no, I didn't. And
That's
this
right.
is what we first started to do as economic developers when the internet came on. It just didn't have the bandwidth yet.
Huh.
Where I can now live in Tucson and program in Silicon Valley. And so you're seeing a maturing of
that's
these
right.
industries. And as a city, that's where our quality of life can really capture those workers, but also
advantage.
Where we link them into the tech parks and the University of Arizona
Boom.
And aggressively recruit them.
Boom. Ethan Orr, this is the one thing that we didn't get to with Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham that I really wanted to.
Absolutely.
This is the vision I share. Ethan,
uh-huh.
we didn't coordinate on this before. This is completely organic and fresh here today, Ethan. But this is the vision of Tucson that I wish we communicated, that I wish we said at high levels of public and private sector,
mm-hmm.
if we had that 2-minute pitch and
yes.
we all spoke the same message and we all pitched in and we all branded it outside of the rooms we talk in behind closed doors, and this was the message, the sky is the limit for this community. PCC is so important.
Yes.
Ethan, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. You're running against Kat Ripley.
Yes.
Ballots are ballots because people have a decision. They got two bubbles.
They got two bubbles.
What do they need to know about you? Why you over Kat Ripley? I know you don't
yeah.
want, I'm not asking you to go negative, but it's a choice.
It's a choice.
A choice. 2 minutes. Why you?
Well, I'll be very clear. Not only did I grow up here, but I have successfully worked with every part of this community. I've done what I'm talking about. Anyone can say vision. I've done it for over 20 years. I have brought businesses here. I have created programs. When you walk into a grocery store and you see someone that is developmentally disabled working in that store, I set up that program with the Beacon Group. I have worked with industry. Pima College, I worked with Pima College to bring businesses here. I was a student at Pima first. As soon as I got my master's in 2000, because I wanted to give back, I went and I've been teaching at Pima and the University of Arizona for the past 20 years because of it. When you look at the vision that I have for Pima, this is also been honed from years of experience. I work with the trades and the tech industry with the JTED. I got them additional funding from the state legislature to get those kids in there and adult workers, adult learners, with the skill set they need, create a stackable certificate that I can either go and work at a good job or I can turn that into associates. I work at the University of Arizona now creating pathways to get those Pima students into the U of A. And then also when you talk about state funding, I was the one in the legislature by working across the entire state. Not only did I protect our $8 million in baseline funding, but I increased funding for adult education by $4.5 million. So you look at the 2 years I was in the legislature, because I was able to work across aisle, across the state, and do it for our community in the style of an old school politician like a Mo Udall or Barry Goldwater, who I got Pima an additional $25 million. I resolved the conflict they had with Santa Cruz County, and that has been working, functioning extraordinarily well for over 7 years now. And so if you look at what I've been doing at the U of A, in addition to supporting our students, in addition to working with our businesses, I've also created a relationship with all of the community colleges around the state. So I walk in ready on day one, but also with relationships to restore that funding. When I lost in 14 in the legislature, all of that funding went away. I want to bring it back.
Ethan Orr for PCC Governing Board. Thank you so much.
Zach, thank you.
Tucson, we'll be back same time, same place Wednesday. Stay well.